Win, lose, or draw, horse racing is competition in its purest form. Equine athletes are bred to do what they naturally do best, race against each other. If you're someone who's never been to a horse race or watched it on TV, you may be wondering, what makes thoroughbred racing so much fun?
Closing victory gallop is now second. Down the stretch they come. Real Quiet in front. Here comes victory gallop with Gary Stevens. It's Real Quiet to Sorbo, but on the outside, victory gallop. Too tight to call. On the inside, was it Real Quiet? Did he win the Triple Crown? On the outside, victory gallop. Neither jockey indicating that they think they won it. That's a photo finish.
Marty Jones, he lets it out a notch to lead by a length and a half. Birdstone is coming up on the outside. Rock Hard 10 is toiling. He's now three lengths behind. They're coming to the top of the stretch. Smarty Jones is a four-length lead. Birdstone is moving to be second on the outside. Rock Hard 10 is back to third. And Smarty Jones enters the stretch to the roar of 120,000. But Birdstone is going to make him earn it today. The whip is out on Smarty Jones. It's been 26 years. It's just one furlong away. Birdstone is an upside.
That was a compilation of three exciting finishes in recent horse racing history. The 1998 Belmont Stakes, when Victory Gallop somehow gets up to beat Real Quiet by a nose. The 2004 Belmont Stakes, when Birdstone upset Smarty Jones in the final three strides. And the 2011 Breeders' Cup Classic, when Zenyatta was a half a head short in her quest to remain undefeated. For fans of Real Quiet, Smarty Jones, and Zenyatta, you'll no doubt remember those gut-wrenching moments. On today's show, I want to discuss the ultimate thrills that the sport provides and relive some of the greatest races in modern-day history, as well as a few from years earlier.
Oh, well, the race is on. Here comes Brian, the back straight. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They're trying not to fall. Mark's out of the running. Who'll love scratch for another set? The race is on. He looks like Heartache.
The Starting Gate is sponsored by Mojo Racing Partners. We're on a mission to provide smart, affordable, fun, and educational opportunities to participate in the sport of thoroughbred racing. By J.R. Caldwell Training Stables, providing the best care, accommodations, and services to get your runners in the winner's circle. By Valor Farm, a proud tradition of racing champions and breeding winners. By December Farm, caring for your bloodstock is a matter of personal pride. We don't do it any other way. By Southern Racehorse Magazine, covering thoroughbred racing in Texas and around the region. By Remember Me Rescue, accepting, rehabilitating, and retraining racehorses after their careers at the track have ended. Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the Starting Gate. I'm your host, Fred Taylor. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone that we broadcast a new show every first and third Saturday of the month, and replays are aired by the station during the off weekends. You can also find links to every program on the show's webpage, mojoracingpartners.com/thestartinggate. As you're listening to the program and have questions about horse racing or comments about the show, please send them to go2startinggate@gmail.com. That's go2 startinggate at gmail.com. I want to know what you think. Of course, the businesses that support our program are ready to meet your needs too. So please let them know you heard about their services on the Starting Gate, and they'll be happy to talk to you about a discount or possibly a special rate. For racing fans and people who want to become owners, there are lots of new and exciting facets to feature about the sport. Horse racing is a very social activity that's best enjoyed as a group event. Racing is more fun when you partake in the experience with your friends, family, and associates. It's a great way to meet new people, and a perfect reason to throw a party. So my goal with this program is to help you better understand the sport from the inside out. I want to share with you all of the different aspects that make taking an active part in the game personally rewarding, intriguing, and really a lot of fun. We launched our first show on November 2nd, which happened to be the Breeders' Cup weekend, and coincidentally, the day after the 75th anniversary of the legendary match race between a rags-to-riches people's horse named Seabiscuit and War Admiral, the Triple Crown winner and son of the great Man of War. It was deemed the race of the century. To get the show started on such a fun and historic weekend is both an honor and a humbling experience. If you've ever been to a horse race, placed a bet, or watched your favorite horse be in a position to win coming down the stretch, then you know about the intense excitement, the euphoric state of mind that instinctively causes people to rise up from their seats, step outside of themselves, and cheer from the tops of their voices as the horses naturally compete against each other toward the finish line. To me, thoroughbred racing is more than one moment, more than one race, and more than one event. It's the culmination of all the horses, the people, their efforts, and the intertwined stories blended together. As Laura Hillenbrand described in her New York Times bestseller about Seabiscuit, horse racing's dramatic action was suited to narration. It found a perfect conduit through radio. Over the next 12 months, I'm going to explore many of these intriguing things with you, and I'm also going to have guests on the show who are experts in the sport. So I hope you like what we have to offer, and we'll continue to tune in. So what makes horse racing so much fun? Part 1. Championship Moments. The Breeders' Cup is one of the biggest international horse racing weekends of the year. It's the world championship of thoroughbred racing, and it has generated some of the most exciting moments in the history of the sport. At the beginning of our first show last week, I played a clip of what I believe is the most exciting horse race ever, the stretch run of the 2000 Breeders' Cup Classic between Tisnow and Giant's Causeway. Let's listen to it again.
The field comes off the turn. Tisnow on the outside. Albert the Great on the rail. The two of them continue to go at it. Here comes Giant's Causeway for Ireland on the outside. They're coming into the final furlong. Tisnow tough as nails. Giant's Causeway on the outside. Giant's Causeway and Tisnow battling head to head. A heart pounding, pulsating stretch drive. And Tisnow prevails. Tisnow has won it by a nose over Giant's Causeway. And it was close for third there between Captain Steve and Albert the Great.
The call of that stretch run by Tom Durkin is the quintessential embodiment of all things that make up a race. He eloquently, succinctly, and masterfully describes the thrills of the moment, whether you're watching on TV or listening to the action as we are today. To me, it's perfect. If you go online after the show to YouTube and type in 2000 Breeders' Cup Classic, you can watch the replay. And you'll also be treated to a very unique video technique that was used to broadcast the race. Instead of filming the action with cameras being fixed in one position, looking up the track, as the horses run toward the finish, NBC strung a camera on a wire that led the length of the track, which gave them the ability to actually follow along next to the horses, stride for stride, as they raced down the stretch toward the finish. It was a brilliant accomplishment to capture that thrilling moment. The Breeders' Cup has always been a hotbed of heart-pounding, pulsating stretch drives. What else would you expect when you put the best of the best in a race and let them sort out who is the better runner on that day? Here's a list of my favorite Breeders' Cup moments. First, the inaugural running of the Breeders' Cup Classic in 1984 lived up to its billing when Wild Again, Slew of Gold, and Gate Dancer came together in a three-horse battle all the way to the wire. In 1987, two Kentucky Derby winners, Ferdinand and Ali Sheba, came from off the pace, battled down the stretch, and hit the wire together. A year later, Personal Ensign seemingly came out of nowhere to get up to beat Winning Colors, another Derby winner, by a head and to remain undefeated. In 2003, there was a dead heat, which in racing terms means a tie, between Johar and High Chaparral in the Breeders' Cup turf. From 2008 to 2010, the French filly, Goldakova, was the reigning back-to-back-to-back champion of the Breeders' Cup mile. And then there's Zenyatta. For 3 years in a row, she dazzled us with her trademark come-from-behind, massively powerful closing strides, gobbling up ground as she barreled down the stretch, passing horses like they were just standing still. One of the great things about the Breeders' Cup is that these thrilling moments happen over and over again. This year's Breeders' Cup Classic is a perfect example of that. When Mucho Macho Man held on by an inspiring nose over Will Take Charge, with Declaration of War tucked between those two horses. All three of those runners crossed the finish line by less than a length of a head. To put it quite simply, that's horse racing. And it's awesome. Here's Tom Durkin again with the call of the stretch run in the 1987 Breeders' Cup Classic between Ferdinand and Ali Sheba.
And Ali Sheba continues to pick him up on the outside with a dramatic run toward the leaders. They are at the corner pole here at Hollywood Park, and it is Giorgio Ruggiero on the outside. Can he go toward the rail? Ferdinand and Ali Sheba coming on from the outside. Good command is in behind horses. They're less than a furlong out. Giorgio Ruggiero desperate. Ferdinand right there. Ali Sheba on the outside. Ferdinand. Giorgio Ruggiero on the outside. Ali Sheba. Ferdinand has the lead. Ali Sheba. A final surge. The two Derby winners hit the wire together. Ferdinand and Ali Sheba in a dramatic photo finish in the world's richest horse race.
So what makes horse racing so much fun? Part 2. Setting the table. You're listening to The Starting Gate on KCLW. I'm your host, Fred Taylor. A good race is dramatic. It's intense. And as I pointed out with Tom Durkin's call of the 2000 Breeders' Cup Classic, the color commentary that accompanies a race makes it more thrilling. For the first show, I also wanted to share with you the moment when I became interested in horse racing, watching the 1979 Kentucky Derby on TV. It was the spark that lit a fire deep in my soul for the sport of thoroughbred racing. Even 34 years after the race was run, a flash flood of exciting memories comes rushing back when I hear that broadcast. To enhance the experience for our listeners, I also included highlights from the ABC Sports telecast that featured commentary by the legendary broadcasters Jim McKay and Howard Cosell, who set the stage and primed the pump leading up to the start. Dave Johnson called the race, and in true form, he described the disposition of the horses as they made their way around the track. His cadence built momentum toward the pinnacle of the race, the stretch run. As the horses go around the far turn and their jockeys start making their moves, the race call is like shaking a soda bottle, and all of that fizz is the nervous energy we have building up inside of us. And then, when the horses are pointed toward the finish line, the cap comes off when you hear,
and down the stretch they come, and it's spectacular. Fifth taking the lead by a length and a half. Along the inside, General Assembly is second. Blind Face is dropped back on the outside. Golden Act coming on, but there's a 16th of a mile to go, and Spectacular Bid is going to win the 105th running of the Kentucky Derby. Spectacular Bid doesn't run Franklin aboard. General Assembly second under the wire. After that, it was Golden Act and King Celebrity.
So what makes horse racing so much fun? Part 3. The Stretch Run. What's true about horse racing is that some of the most memorable moments have gone down to the wire in a fever's pitch of raw emotion as the horses battle each other in the stretch. The best races are filled with additional drama based on a combination of circumstances that elevates the excitement. To this point, let's cross the pond. I want to talk about an Australian mare named Black Caviar that was sent halfway around the world to England to defend her undefeated and truly remarkable Aussie race record in the Diamond Jubilee Stakes, a 145-year-old race renamed in honor of the 60th anniversary of the accession of Queen Elizabeth II to the throne. Before being retired, this mare accomplished what no other horse has ever done, and may not ever do again, at least in my lifetime. 25 straight wins, 22 of which were either Group 1 or Group 2 races. These are the highest levels of competitive racing. To prove that Black Caviar was not only the best down under, but was also the best sprinter in the world, in 2012, her owners decided to showcase the horse on the international stage before Her Majesty, the Queen, and over 75,000 in attendance on the last day of the Royal Ascot meet. And, with practically all of Australia watching the broadcast to see their national treasure demonstrate her brilliance, Black Caviar proved why she's the greatest of all time. But it was a glorious moment that almost didn't happen. Established in 1868, the Diamond Jubilee is a short, 6-furlong, Group 1 event that's held to welcome the best sprinters from any nation willing to compete. It's described by Royal Ascot, the host track, as an exciting, action-packed few seconds as all the horses come thundering past the grandstands. With a furlong to go, Black Caviar was 2 lengths clear. But in the final 75 meters, Black Caviar's regular rider, Luke Nolan, mistakenly eased her before the finish post. In his defense, Nolan explained, "I tried to let her coast home, and she just stopped under me." Marcus Armitage of Britain's The Telegraph reported what happened next. Around Black Caviar, the two French sprinters, Moonlight Cloud and Rusty Argent, bore down on her as they scented blood and the impossible. They were a head and neck away from being the blunder from down under. And it's to Black Caviar's credit that she stuck her long neck out and averted what would have been regarded as one of the most public and costly riding errors in racing history. And in the final 3 strides, Nolan shook the reins, and in a manner of pure athletic talent, Black Caviar rallied to hold off the fast-closing French mare, Moonlight Cloud, to win by the narrowest of royal margins that can only be decided by a photo finish. Let's listen to the call of the race to hear how it unfolded.
Moonlight Cloud to make up the line, the French filly. The horse that could be the big threat to Black Caviar. They're just about lined up for the Diamond Jubilee Stakes, 6 furlongs. And they're away, racing. Slow to go, Blew the Start Society Rock. Well out Soul, who goes off quickly. On the stand side, it's Bogart, tracked by Black Caviar. Tracking Soul down the center, Jimmy Stiles in the yellow jacket from SK Love. Towards the stand side, tracking Black Caviar is Restier d'Argent, followed by Pastoral Player, Raw Rock out the back with Society Rock, and also Genki and the Checker is towards the rear. Moonlight Cloud is buried in the field about 8th or 9th as they race through the first 2 furlongs or so. And Soul has gone off quickly here from Bogart in second inside the 3. Black Caviar travelling comfortably on the right in 3rd place. They're followed by Krypton Factor, SK Love on the far side, Restier d'Argent, Moonlight Cloud in the white jacket, beginning to try and get on terms with Black Caviar. Luke Nolan shakes up Black Caviar. What can she find? Soul went very fast. Black Caviar takes it up now, chased by Restier d'Argent. Moonlight Cloud is attacking on the stand side. Then Soul, Krypton Factor, Black Caviar's in front. Here comes Moonlight Cloud on the stand side with Restier d'Argent, a twin French assault. Black Caviar needs the line. He's easing up on her, and he's just scraped in. Oh, he nearly blew it. But Black Caviar, she's still unbeaten. I think she's just scraped in.
The 1933 Kentucky Derby introduced the public to one of the more bizarre coincidences in racing, and also started a tradition in sports photography that has been utilized ever since. The race itself is known as the Fighting Finish, because the riders on the 2 front-running horses were literally fighting with each other all the way down the stretch. What makes the moment unique is the photo that a local newspaper photographer named Wallace Lowry took. The year before, Lowry had been assigned by the Courier-Journal to take a head-on photo of the horses coming down the stretch in the Derby, but the image didn't turn out. Hoping for a chance at redemption, he would position himself on the ground lying underneath the inside rail at the finish line with his camera pointing up at the oncoming horses. This time around, not only did Lowry get the picture he wanted, he captured a very dramatic moment in Derby history that has become one of the most famous sports photos ever taken. Racing in the 30s was much more of a rough and tumble sport than it is today. It was common for the riders to strike each other with their whips and try to knock each other off their mounts. Usually these disputes were levied on the backside. However, with the Derby on the line, those jockey tactics carried over into the final furlong, the last eighth of a mile. Broker's Tip, ridden by Don Meade, and Head Play, ridden by Herb Fisher, were on the lead, neck and neck. As the two horses came down the stretch, charging toward the finish line, the riders began swatting at and pulling on each other. Fisher would explain, "When I put him in tight quarters, he reached over and grabbed my saddlecloth at the eighth pole and held on to me. I tried to shake him loose by squeezing him against the fence, and he just held on. I was so amazed to think that he had the nerve to have a hold of me. I kind of just lost my head. I blowed my top. I hit him across the head with my whip once or twice before the finish, and then after the finish." Meade would go on to say, "I'm not blaming him for trying to do what he did, because in those days, that's what you did. If you didn't do it, you wasn't a race rider." Still, when the two horses crossed the finish, there wasn't a clear winner. Both riders claimed foul, and their fight spilled over into the jocks' room after the race. At the time, photo finish technology didn't exist. It was developed 4 years later in 1937. Prior to that, trying to determine which horse was a winner in a close race was impossible to the naked eye. Basically, the track stewards had to get together and come to a unanimous decision, much like the way first downs and out-of-bounds decisions were made in football before instant replay. In this case, Broker's Tip was deemed to be the winner by an unproven nose. Additionally, automatic cameras weren't around back then either, so a photographer only had one shot to get it right and then hope for the best. And if it didn't turn out, well, he was out of luck, which is what happened to Wallace Lowry the year before. So, when Lowry went back to the Derby in 1933, all of the elements fell into place at the precise moment coming down the stretch. And today, professional photographers will strategically place their automatic digital cameras under the rail in order to take head-on photos of the Derby winner racing toward the finish line with the iconic twin spires on glorious display in the background. Now you have a better idea of what makes horse racing so much fun. It's those awesome moments that unfold coming down the stretch. Today, I've highlighted some of the most exciting races. These are the great memories that will last a lifetime. But that's not the end, I promise. In fact, you can be sure there will be more thrilling moments year after year for all of us to enjoy. So what's the closest race you've ever seen? How did you react to it? And are you ready to take part in the racing experience? Let us know what you think by sending your thoughts or questions to our email address, gotostartinggate@gmail.com. You can listen to The Starting Gate every first and third Saturday at 8:30 a.m. Central on KCLW. Links to every program can be found on our webpage by going to mojoracingpartners.com/thestartinggate. I'm Fred Taylor. Thank you for tuning in this week. Well, I feel dear well enough, going deep inside like my heart's from a big break. And this time alone and it's sharp and painful, I may never shake. You might say that I was taking it hard when you wrote me off with a call. Don't you wager that I'll hide the sorrow, I may lay right down the ball. Oh, well, the race is on, here comes pride, the back straight. I'm going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They try not to fall. March out of the running. Who'll look scratch for another set? The race is on. He looks like Harding. And the winner loses all.
Support for The Starting Gate comes from Mojo Racing Partners. Give the people what they want. Go to mojoracingpartners.com for more information. From J.R. Caldwell Training Stables. where the horse comes first. Go to jrcaldwelltrainingstables.com for more information. From Valor Farm, go to valorfarm.com for more information. From December Farm, distinctively different. Go to december-farm.com for more information. From Southern Racehorse Magazine, go to southernracehorse.com for more information. From Remember Me Rescue, go to retiredracehorses.org for more information.